Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Give him praise. Let's go ahead and... I tell you, there's nobody like him. There's nobody like your God, nobody like my God. There's one thing that's in me that I sort of need to get out. The Lord told me during worship that there is some in here that are needing a release. He did not tell me from what, but he did say they will know. There's one. Anybody else? Stand up. You need a release. God is saying in this service, there is a release for you to latch hold to, for you to be able to grab hold. If you need a release from whatever it is, if you need a release, well, I'm not going to say anything. If you need a release from anything, I want you to stand up. Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay. Here's the way this works. The Word of God becomes active when we're wanting that Word. Yes. When we have a desire for that Word. And it becomes active to us because we're in need. And he says, I will meet every one of your needs. Yes. Whatever your needs are, I will meet every one of your needs. And this thing about release, sometimes things latch hold to us, or they get a hold of us, or they get in us, or they get in our minds, or they get whatever it is. Could be physical, could be financial, could be anything. All I heard was, there's a release in the house for those that want it. And you know what it is. Amen. And for all of you that are standing up, here's how this works. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Your challenge and my challenge is always partnering with the prophetic word or the word of God that's come, partnering with it instead of opposing against it. See, the opposition would be, that's not for me, or that won't happen, or I stood up, but I doubt anything happened. See, that's opposition. That's not partnering with. Are you with me? So if you're standing, this is your day of release. This is your day to grab hold of it. I want to just reach up, just prophetic reach, and just raise both hands and say, I receive it from you, God. Now worship him. Give him praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have good news. I got a lot of good news. I got good news here. I got good news from Mexico. I got good news all over the place. And good news is from him. Good news is from him. From Mexico, they had their baby Friday. Is that correct? Isabel had her baby Friday. Baby girl, but the story in front of that is Scott, the father, had come down with COVID-19. And he had to be quarantined and all that stuff, but he came down with that. And I think his last day of it was on Tuesday, is that correct? Before the Friday. So he was out of quarantine on Tuesday, and the baby was born on Friday. Isn't God good? Scott's doing well. The baby's doing well. Isabel's doing well. Everybody's doing well. They're doing well. It is well with the Somervilles in Mexico. That is great. Also, we had another birthing. Cricket. Is this number? What number of grandbaby is this? 20. I gave her a word. How long ago that word? How long has it been? About the, you Asa.
He's born Friday, and this is 20 grandkids in 2020. And God gave me the word that the Holy Spirit showed me that in 2020, we are birthing right now here. Yes. Yes. This church, yes. The church is a birthing.
Thank you, God. 2020 and 20 grandkids. But she's not finished. There's more coming, right? You don't know? Huh? Well, you do know that next year is 2021. 2021, so. All right, they're doing well. Billy's doing well, and also that is great. And we just want to celebrate that as well. We want to celebrate some people, special people that are here. My daughter-in-law's mom and sister are here from all the way from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Good to have you guys. And also, all the way from Maryland, we have Vicki Logan's family, her sister and her niece. Is that correct? Wave at me. Wave at me. We're glad to have you guys. Glad to have you guys. Is anybody else from somewhere? Where are you from? Sunshine. Sunshine's right down the road. That is great. Oh, it's good to be in family. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have the connection again. And I don't know what's going to happen with the mask concerning with our governor. I have no idea. I know that the 17th is when he said it was over. But you know how that goes, you know. But we're going to worship God regardless. We're going to praise His name regardless. Amen. We're going to follow God regardless. Amen. And we're still supporting and everything. We want to be good citizens and all that. But at the same time, when that day comes when we can't, we take the stand and say, look, God's told us this, so we cannot do what you're telling us to do because it flies in the face of what God has told us to do. And when that day comes, we'll take our stand. Amen, amen. I really need to get started. but before I do, I want to say this. I want to let everyone know, those of you that have been under our leadership for several, many, many years now, know that I tell you this, that whenever you hear a word from me or from anywhere that comes out of this pulpit, you have the Berean spirit about you, and you make sure that you go back and look and listen and find out what God is saying and making sure that what's coming out of this right here from this platform is God. In other words, it's in line with God's word. Does that make sense? And I will say, I've said that for many, many years here, even when I tell you. And I want to let you know that if there's ever a message that you need clarity in, that you need understanding on, always make sure that you contact the office and set up an appointment with me. I'll be glad to explain. I'll be glad to listen to anybody's concern. I'll be glad to listen to what anybody has to say. And I will be glad to give you the standpoint from where I'm coming from concerning the Bible and concerning the topic that we talked about. How many of you know that's the truth? That I will do that. I have done that. And I'll still do it. Amen? Amen. I'm going to talk to you today about creating or not creating really, but charting the course of your journey with God. Charting a course or the course of your journey with God. How many of you are in a journey with God? Okay, amen. You're on a journey with God. And but that journey starts with God's love. How many of you know the Bible says that God loves you? But how many of you know it doesn't say that he just loves you? What? That's right. Somebody said that's right. Okay. For God, John 3:16, for God so loved. So loved. He didn't just love you. He so loved you. That so love is You know, has your girlfriend next to you, your wife or your girlfriend or your husband, have they ever said, "I so love you"? Is that the truth? Wave at me. Somebody say, you know what they're saying? My love for you is compelling me to do something. It's compelling me to give. God so loved that he gave. God so loved you that he gave his only. God so loved that he surrendered, having his son with him, gave his only begotten son to be handed over to earth, to be handed over to the wickedness in people. He so loved you and I that he put his hands, he put his son in the hands of sinners. While we were yet sinners, he so loved us that he gave his son that we might be free, that we might be a people who learn how to love. John, 1 John 3 says this, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. He wants us to not just know it, not just feel it, but he wants us to what? See it. He wants us to see his love in action. How many of you have seen his love in action? How many of you have, "I remember when"? You have a "I remember when," and it had to do with God's love doing something. Wave at me. "I remember when." I'd love to. Maybe one day we'll have a "I remember when" service. I don't have a problem with that. I remember when. Absolutely. So it's how we see what we see that will determine how we do what we do. How we see what we see will determine how we do what we do. If we're looking at the wrong things, if we have charted a course that is not in agreement with God, how many of you know you will see something different than him? But he wants us to chart courses that are in alignment with him, that are lined up with him. You're on a journey today. You're on a journey for beauty. Look at somebody and say, "You're on a journey to be beautiful." And you're already there. Somebody said, "We're already there." Who said that? Somebody said, "We're already there." I got a lot of verses for you, but I don't have the heart to give it to you. Yes, you are beautiful, but are you as beautiful as you're going to be? No. No, why? Because our beauty in him is constantly growing. How do I know that? Listen to this, Ephesians 5, 20, 25 through 27. It says this, "Christ also loved the church. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, cleanse, and wash her with the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church." Everybody say, "Glorious church." See, it is a glorious church, one of splendor, one of beauty that is beyond our imagination. You are so beautiful to me. Okay, that's all I'm going to give you. Can't you see? You're everything I hoped for. You're everything I need. You are so beautiful to me. Yeah. Just stick to preaching. I got it. That's how he sees you. You're beautiful. We're beautiful to him already. But he's in the process. He said, a glorious church not having any spot, any wrinkle, or any such thing. No spots, no wrinkles, or no such thing. But you will be holy and without blemish. See, our beauty in the natural has blemishes. But in his, See, this is the journey that Paul was talking about, of going on this journey with God about his glorious church and being part of that working that God is doing in us. But you know, this journey to beauty and glorious is, there's a requirement that comes with it. You know what it is? You want to know what it is? Amen. Everybody say, yes.
Yes.
You're not saying, yes, I want to know. That's the answer. Yes. It requires a yes to God. I want to make you beautiful. Yes. I want to make you glorious. Yes. But I'm going to send you through a rough time in order to get there. No, I said yes. Yes, how do I know that? Everything he does is good for me. All things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. How many things? All things. All things. All things. All things. It requires a yes from you and I. He creates moments for us to be invited into things that we may not understand, but he's wanting us to say, I don't understand this, but my answer to you is yes. Everybody say, yes, God.
Yes, God.
We need to get used to saying, yes, God. Yes. Yes. When he tells you to do something, it's a yes, God. And when he tells you don't do something, it's a yes, God. See, all of this love, all of this glory that he's bringing us into requires a yes from you and I. That's the charting process. That's an, okay, I need to say yes to God so I can make my way through this journey with him that brings him glory and honor and beautifies me. Yes, God. When we say yes to God, all the resources of heaven become available to make it happen. Yes, God, all the resources of heaven is at your fingertips. Why? He won't hold anything back from you. That was the temptation in the garden. God's holding out on you. He knows if you eat this, you'll be like him. They were already like him. They already had his glory. See, God is in the process on charting this course that we have. God is in the process of making sure that we see him as he is. But there's something about God that we also need to know. The thing about God, one thing about God is that he accepts you. He accepts you. Come here, Brother John. Brother John, I thought picking on Brother John. Just hold your breath when you get here. We're not wearing masks. I accept him. He accepts me. God accepts us no matter who we are. But you know about, you know something else? Thank you, brother. You know what something else about God is? He won't leave you where you are. He accepts you right where you are, but he won't leave you where you are. Why? Because he has more in store. Everybody say, more in store. See, there's more in store for you. Those of you that reached out today, there's more in store for you today on release. You got something that you didn't think you was going to get by coming today. Why? It was God's plan. It was God's sovereignty that sets everything in place to say, oh, I'm going to do something for these 20, ever how many people, I'm going to do something for them. All they have to do is say, yes, God. Amen. God is in the process of this charting is in the process of taking us from a salvation moment that we receive the eternal life from God comes inside us. We have eternal life the moment we're born again. We don't have eternal life when we get there. We have eternal life now. Now. See, put that on your chart of your journey. I got eternal life now. God so loves me. God's going to make me beautiful in Him. God's going to make me part of the glorious church. That's charting your journey. Things you need to know, things you need to have on your journey with God. But here's the thing about it. How do you know you're being transformed? How is it that you know you're being transformed? Well, the Bible tells you that. The Bible says that you're being transformed when you stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture. You stop, what? Imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture. In other words, culture is not molding you. That's what Paul said in Romans. Do not let this world squeeze you into its mold. How do you know you've been transformed? You start saying no to the culture when it doesn't line up with God. With the rhetoric that doesn't line up with God, you start saying no. And then you start saying yes to Him. So that's number one. You stop being molded by culture. What's the second thing when you know you're being transformed? Our thinking will be aligned with the kingdom of God thoughts. Your thinking will be lined up with what the kingdom of God says, what God says in the kingdom. What does God say? That's one of the things you ought to always ask when you run across. God, what do you say about this? So that's charting your journey with Him. What do you say about this? What are you doing in this? And you begin to hear from Him. So when your thinking is lined up, when you've stopped saying no to what the culture is doing and you start saying yes to what God is wanting you to do, then your thinking begins to be lined up with God. When your thinking begins to be lined up with God, here's the next thing that happens. You begin to live the life that demonstrates the will of God. You begin to live a life that demonstrates the will of God. What do you mean by that? The Bible says in Romans 12:2 that you will begin to prove. You will prove that the will of God is good. You will prove that the will of God is acceptable. You will prove by your living that the will of God is what? Perfect, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Somebody said, well, I don't know the will of God. You're not being transformed. I need an amen. Okay. I don't know the will of God. Well, you're not being transformed. It's really that simple. The more you're being transformed, the more you stop saying no to culture, the more you start saying yes to God, you're being transformed. Your thinking gets lined up with God. Your living gets lined up with God. And then you're able to live out to prove so that you may prove the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. How many of you have tasted the good will of God? Yeah. How many of you have tasted the perfect will of God? Here's one. How many of you have looked at the acceptable will of God, but you wasn't too sure about it? Yeah. See, oh, he's back there, and he says, I've been there. Haven't we all been there? But see, we should know that the will of God is what? Acceptable. We might not understand it, but it's acceptable. Nevertheless, always the more. Nevertheless, always the more. Amen. Nevertheless, always the more. But every step you take, there'll be some steps, not every step, but there'll be some steps that you take that will have opposition. Oh, somebody said it. Who said yes? Raise your hand. Who said that? Yes? Yeah, yeah. What do you say? Yes to God. I know I'm going to have hard times. I know I'm going to go through difficult times. I know I'm going to go through this. But he says this, through many hardships, through many tribulations, you will enter into the kingdom of God. It means, see, if you see how he wants you to see, what you do will be what he wants you to do. Why? Because you're able to see it. When you see the difficulties that you're going through is just a doorway for you to step into more of the kingdom, you just step right up, folks. Step through this door of trials and tribulations. No, step right through these trials and tribulations. No, but when you see what God sees, and this is the only way for you to go, you take a step into that thing, and it's the kingdom of God. He said it's through much tribulation, it's over now, through much tribulations you will enter into the kingdom of God. Ooh, what changes my whole perspective about going through hard things, right? Doesn't it you? So we begin to see this, but every doorway has these struggles that are there, but with every struggle, there is a opportunity. Through every opposition, there is an opportunity. If you're only focused on the opposition, you will not discover the opportunity that you have. If you're only dwelling on the opposition that you're going through, if you're only dwelling on that, is that all you see? Then if that's all you see, the opportunity will come and go without you ever noticing it. Then you go through this, scratching your head, said, man, I don't know why did I have to go through that? Why? Because we didn't discover the opportunity that God was giving us. Ooh. Paul had some. Paul said this. He said, there is a light that shines out of darkness. Micah has a great song. There's a light that shines out of darkness. Out of the darkness, our light shines. He reached down and our spirit was dead, and all of a sudden, boom, light comes. When we say yes to God, yes to Jesus. He goes on, he says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the surpassing greatness of his power may be of God and not from me. Then he goes on and says this, I've been afflicted in every way, but I'm not crushed. I've been perplexed, but I'm not despairing. I've been persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I've been struck down, but I'm not destroyed. The Passion does it this way. The Passion Translation does it with this way. He said, we have this in common jars. We have this glorious treasure, jars of clay. We have this glorious treasure within. The extraordinary overflow of power will be seen that it's God's. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't even know what to do. But quitting is not an option. Ooh. We don't know what we do, even we don't know what we're supposed to do sometimes, but quitting is not on the radar. We're persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We're knocked down, but we are not out. Somebody say to your neighbor, I'm getting up. Now don't leave. I'm not telling anybody to leave. Now I'm getting up. But how did Paul chart his course? He said in Philippians chapter 3, my passion, listen, this is out of the Passion Translation. Here we go. Charting the course of Paul. How did he go through all that and still remain on course with God? Here's what it is. Philippians 3:9. My passion is to be consumed with him. Whew. My passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness, trying to keep what is written, the law. My righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. My very righteousness comes from God. That's number one. Your right, where does your righteousness come from? Then he says this. He said, I'm consumed. Are you consumed with something? If we analyze the time, I wonder what we are consumed with. He said, are you consumed? He was consumed with him. And that was his passion. And he said, I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus. He continually longed. That's part of our charting. Do you continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully? I do. Do you continue to long to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection?
Yes.
See, that's charting your course. You're continually longing to experience it. You're continually longing to know it. You're continually have the passion for this. Then he goes on through and he says this. This is Paul. He said, this resurrection power is working in me. It's alive in me and it's working. The resurrection power of God is resident inside you. Do you long to see it demonstrated? I do. I've seen it at times. But I want to see it more in my life. I want to see it demonstrated more in my life. So let's watch this. Look this passage, and then we're going to close. But I want you to grab hold of this. He goes on after that. He said, this is my passion. This is my longing. And this is my passion. In verse 12, he says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness of what I'm pursuing. I admit that I've not required the absolute fullness. See, that's humility. Whoever said I'm beautiful already? That's humility. You are beautiful. I'm not looking your way. He says, listen, I have not acquired the absolute fullness of what I'm pursuing, but I run with passion. How does he run? I run with passion. Into his abundance. Not his emptiness. Not his lack. He doesn't have any. I run with absolute passion into his abundance so that I might reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. See, there's things about God and things about our calling that we have not discovered yet. And he wants us to discover it. He goes on and says, I don't depend on my own strength, but I do have one compelling focus. Well, what is it? I forget all the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I forget all the past and I fasten my heart to the future instead. He's charting his course. He's charting the journey. This is what I'm focused on. I run straight to the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. He goes on and he says this. He says, so let all who are fully mature have this same passion. Let all that are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone has not been gripped by these desires, if you have not been gripped by this passion, by this longing, by this desire, if you have not been gripped with that, listen, by these desires, he said this, God will reveal it to you. So God's open invitation is for you to be able to have that passion, have that desire, have that longing to continue this journey that gives him all the glory of what you do, what you say, and how you walk. And then he goes on and says this. And let us all advance together. No one's left behind. Let us all advance. Everybody say together.
Together.
Everybody say together.
Together.
See, listen. When you and I became born again, who we were changed. We are now, instead of two different people, we are now brothers and sisters in the same family. Amen? Yes, we are. He goes on and says, he says this, let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. Following one path with one passion. Following one path with one passion. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Your love is so profound. Your grace that you've given us is so marvelous. We are in awe. God, we have a strong desire to stand before you and be awed by you. Help us today to fulfill these passages and to have this passion, this longing, and this desire to chart this course of our journey with you without any lack, but have a positive yes to you that will lead us in every situation, regardless of what opposes us. And in the end, we will be the glorious church that you said you're going to present to this world and to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to say yes to God concerning that, just stand to your feet. Now, if you don't mean it, just don't stand up. If you want to say yes, I'm saying yes to God to this message, stand to your feet. God will give you opportunities this week to hear him so you can say yes to him. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be new. It's going to be brand new to you, to me. It's going to be something so wild at times that joy will bubble over inside us because we see for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time, we begin to see as he sees things, so then we can do what he wants us to do. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, online visitors. We thank you so much for participating with us today. Once again, I want to say to the online people, we have the new videos for you for our kids. We also have something new. There's buttons under the videos for you to have activities and parental guides for you to be able to help your children. Please do that. God bless you. God bless you, Father's Vineyard. In Jesus' name, be safe.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.